Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the NYBS Radio Show, home of the New York Bigfoot Society.
What's up, Bigfoot Nation? This is your host, Gary, also known as Hoot and Holla, and welcome to New York Bigfoot Society Bigfoot Radio. All right, well, today this is our first show, so we're going to be ironing out some glitches first off, so just bear with us as we're learning to how to use Blog Talk Radio. But, yeah, so I'm going to get right into it. This show is basically going to be about a 25-minute to half-hour show. We like to keep it, you know, quick and simple. My attention span is very limited, so I can only imagine that a lot of other people's ours too. So, but with that said, I like to kind of get right into what this is all about. Back in December, we put out to all of our, you know, basically guests and supporters of our cause, would you want us to do a podcast show, talking about monsters in New York, Bigfoot of New York, you know, what goes on in the forest, sighting reports, claims, who's seeing these things, what's seeing these things. And, we put that out to everybody, and we got an overwhelming yes that people wanted us to do this. So here we are. So once again, I thank everybody for your support. You know, without you guys, you know what I mean, we wouldn't be really, you know, to where we are today. And I just thank each and every one of you. So it's awesome just to have such an awesome, tight-knit community of, you know, Bigfoot researchers, skeptics, and believers. With that being said, what's today's podcast is? It's going to be skeptics versus believers. First off, I'm a very controversial person when it comes to these kind of things. So I like to get right into it. Also, if you did notice, this is R-rated, blog. So I do get mouthy at times and do swear. So if, and that's just who I am. So if you have small children listening to this, just be aware that I may say swear words. I do have a trucker mouth. So I'm just a real person. That's kind of where it goes down to. All right. A little bit about myself. My name is Gary Robusto. I'm basically the founder of the New York Bigfoot Society, also the founder of the Tri-City New York Paranormal Society, based out of Albany, New York. I've been a Bigfoot researcher now for about 7 years, all right? I've been a paranormal researcher for about 23 years. Now, I don't link paranormal and I don't link Bigfoot together, two totally separate subjects, so I will say that now. But yes, I do study both things. I was very fortunate in my, basically to learn from one of the, I would say, top-notch researchers in the country, also one of the top-notch researchers in the state of New York. And he taught me a lot of things, taught me what to look for, gave me the ropes of what you need to do and what we look for as Bigfooters and researchers. Once we moved on from that, I kind of took a different little spin on it and started, investigating a little bit differently. I'm a mountaineer by nature. I'm an outdoors person. Always in the woods. I'm a hiker. I'm aspiring to be a 46er. Things that I live in the woods. I'm hiking. I'm mountain climbing. I'm rock climbing, doing all sorts of things. So, I'm in the woods a lot. With that being said, when we go into the woods to conduct research and stuff like that, we kind of do it to the extreme. You know what I mean? It's not like, walk down a trail and boom. No, we're climbing cliffs. We're doing all sorts of climbing trees, going in places that, really people just would not really go into. We have the knowledge base as outdoorsmen to be safe in these situations. But we do push the limits. We do push the limits a lot. So it's kind of what we do. It's a thrill. It's more than just Bigfooting. It's actually just getting out into nature, enjoying the woods, and doing what we do. A little bit about myself. Again, I've been on two TV shows. If you watch any Bigfoot TV, I've been on National Geographic Channel on Sasquatch Planet. So if you ever saw that show, I was the tech guy on that show. And also, I was on America's Book of Secrets, the Bigfoot episode. Once again, I was the tech guy of the team and, basically setting up equipment. That's one of my strong points in what we do is the technology I'm able to bring into the field. But with that being said, I also believe that technology makes our job as researchers even worse. And which is we continue to find blurry pictures, audio that, yes, we get the calls, we get the howls, we get things like that. But unfortunately, it's just an audio clip. There's really nothing else to go with it. If you're a Bigfoot person, you'd be like, oh, well, that's a Bigfoot. If you're not a Bigfoot person, a skeptic, you'd be like, well, that's not a Bigfoot. So here we are with the back and forth with the skeptics versus believer debate. Once again, even if I bring a lot of technology into the woods, first and foremost, I think it's very important as a researcher to be out there, know what you're doing, know how to track things, understand the woods. The woods will tell you all the answers. And that's kind of what we're learning as we keep evolving on this team, is the woods will give you the answers. So basically that's a little bit about me. I'm not going to go in any further than that. We are no-kill proponents. We don't believe in going out and killing a Bigfoot. If we did see one, we don't believe in trying to chase one down, hunt one through the woods. I always find it funny when people are like, oh, yeah, we're hunting Bigfoot. No, the other way around. You're being hunted by Bigfoot. Let's get that real first off. So once again, we're all against, we're totally against that. Now, if other teams and people are for that, good for you. That's your opinion. And I'm not going to, basically poo on that. That's just what you do. Our methods are a little bit different. Basically, I just want to gather the evidence, back up the sighting report claims, back up our witnesses that come to us and are just scared the shit to tell us what's going on because they don't want to be ridiculed by a skeptic or somebody like that. And we just want to back those things for the client witnesses. So that's kind of what we do. We give you what you see. You can take whatever you want out of it. I mean, we don't really care. We're just here as field researchers boots on the ground, getting out in the woods, and just doing the work. And that's what we do. And we have fun doing it. So now I want to get right into our subject matter, which is skeptics versus believers. I think as Bigfoot researchers and as Bigfoot people in general, people that believe in Bigfoot, you know, one of the first things people always say to me is like, wow, you really believe in Bigfoot, don't you? And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I have enough circumstantial evidence to say that there's some bipedal creature chilling up the woods, you know, doing its thing, and people are witnessing something. Also, with the amount of people that we talk to, people that have sightings and things like that, it's not bears. The people aren't seeing bears all over the place. People aren't seeing bears chilling up on 2 feet, running across the road, you know what I mean, waving at you, giving you a high five, thumbs up, drinking a beer, and then going into the woods. It's not how this works. But people that are skeptics of this is how they perceive what we're thinking. Like, yo, these people are batshit crazy. You know what I mean? They don't know what they're seeing. They're telling tall tales. They want to be, you know, they're nobody's that want to be somebody, so they make up a Bigfoot story. Listen, maybe there are people like that out there, okay? We all know that, all right? But about 90% of the people I talk to when I'm sitting there and interviewing them, talking to them, including, you know, probably people that are listening to this right now, you know what you saw. Seeing is believing. And because skeptics don't see these things, skeptics aren't out in the woods. They're sitting, you know, on their couch, watching TV, on Google, whatever they're doing. You have the people that are sitting out, they do hike the woods, you know, which, you know, kudos to them, but they don't have these kind of encounters because, once again, they're on nature paths, nature trails, very heavily trafficked areas that, you know, Sasquatches, Bigfoots may not be in those areas. Or if they are, they're far enough outside just watching everybody as, you know, I believe that we're their entertainment. Basically, people are Bigfoot's TV. Hence, you know, we'll get into those in later episodes. But, you know, one thing I always, when Skep comes to me and starts drilling me, you know what I mean? I did this one TV show, and, you know, basically they put me up against the skeptic. It was a tech nerd against the skeptic, and he was drilling me. But meanwhile, me and the skeptic are really good friends. Like, you know, he's cool. We have no problems with each other. We shoot the shit. We goof off. We have a really good time. But that's kind of what they did in the TV show. They always put people up against each other, you know, and it's just like whenever I talk to a skeptic, I'm the first thing, you know, they start drilling me like, how can you believe in Bigfoot? You know, I'm like, well, listen, I go in the woods and this is what I do. So first off, what's it matter to you what I do in my spare time? Because it doesn't affect you. Second off, you know, we do look at, here's some footprints. Here's this. Here's that. Yes, I don't have a body. And you can go on and on about why I don't have a body. But first off, I don't kill them. So I won't have a body. Second off, you know, we would have to be right in front of one to then, you know, basically, oh, we'll now take your body. Can we borrow you? Can we just borrow you for a couple hours or examine you? Like, you know, it doesn't work that way. So that's constantly what we get at that. So I always come back at them, and this is going to be controversial, and I'm cool with it because, you know, this is it adds credence to what we say, is that, you know, why can you believe in God? Okay, religion, you know, we believe in religion. We're born and raised to believe in God and religion. That's just how it works, like, basically with society in general. It's changed a little bit over the time, but, you know, basically overall, you know, basically you're like, oh, you believe in a God, whatever that God is. Well, why is it okay for you to believe in God, but yet you've never sat down and talked to God? You've never basically have witnessed God. You've never seen God. You never gave him a high five. You never ate dinner with him. You never took him on a date. You never did anything, okay, because you never met God. God is all in your head for what you believe. Okay, that's okay. So it's okay that you can believe in God, but it's not okay for me to believe in a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch. That's possible because I'm a bad guy. But you can believe in God because you never met him. Okay? You believe that they exist and he exists, and that's cool on you. And I mean, hey, you know, we all believe in something. So that's fine. But it's accepted to believe in God or a God, but it's not accepted to believe in a Bigfoot. But yet when you stop and really stop to think about it, no one's met God, and we're not finding Bigfoot, we're not chilling with Bigfoot, but people are seeing Bigfoots. So people may see God when they cross over, and you can go, that's a whole other conversation as you get into the paranormal, but we're going to, this is a paranormal show. But once again, for the most part, no one's chilling with God and chilling, you know, basically with them. And people are seeing Bigfoots all over the place, okay? You're talking thousands of people are seeing Bigfoots. You're talking about forest rangers. You're talking about cops, police officers, military people, and you know what, just your everyday average Joe. The everyday average Joe is no different than anybody else. You know, we're all equals on this planet. So what's it matter if, you know, a grandma that lives next door saw a Bigfoot, or this, you know, lieutenant sergeant in the army or military sees a Bigfoot? At the end of the day, they're both same people. Credibility is credibility, and they know what they're seeing. I mean, end of story. Like, people see things and they're believers. Now, have I ever came face to face with a Bigfoot? No, I haven't. I did have a encounter at one time that I believe that I saw something. I will not say it was a Bigfoot, but I will say I saw something. And, you know, it gave me enough, you know, basically evidence for myself to be like, all right, well, you know, this phenomena is something. And then when you find the tracks, you find the 16-inch tracks, you're finding tree breaks, things like that. We're getting screamed out in the woods. I'm getting rocks thrown. I mean, I don't know what really throws rocks in the middle of the forest at you, you know, just when you're not really doing anything and it's yelling at you. Like, you tell me what that is. You know, maybe it's a hermit. I don't know. But once again, you know, when it comes to skeptics, a lot of skeptics, and not all of them, but a lot of them obviously, are very, like, they're brutal, man. They are brutal. They come right at you, like, full bore, like, you know, just talking shit and, you know, saying disregard, you know, basically very disrespectful things. And it's like, why do you have to be so disrespectful when I just believe in a creature and you don't? Like, what the fuck does it matter? It doesn't matter, but it doesn't make sense. So when we start to really think about it in a lot of ways, you know, a lot of people, the problem is the way we're brought up, you know what I mean? And this is my opinion, obviously, but this is what I kind of see through doing all this research. And even in the paranormal, this is kind of similar, is that people don't like to basically be wrong. First off, we all hate to be wrong, and people hate to admit when they're wrong. I mean, it's just what it is, because when we're, you know, very young, we're brought up a certain way. You know, our parents teach us, our grandparents, you know, whoever's raising you, you know, they basically teach you a certain way, and you evolve kind of and get molded in that kind of way. But all of a sudden, when your belief system starts getting kind of crushed a little bit as you get older, because you're starting to see things aren't really what they may seem, you don't want to admit that to yourself, because once again, growing up, you know, you've been told and taught over and over what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, that's what we come into with this kind of stuff. You know, so people will be skeptical, and they'll be like, no. And they'll be like, you know, you're fucking crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. You need to go to the loony bin. You belong in a hospital. I get all this stuff. I've had religious people show up at some of my lectures, start screaming at me, you know, and it's just like, what? Why? Like, why are you wasting your time? Because I honestly have no reason. I'm not even going to say anything to you. Like, your belief is your belief. That's fine. I'm not here to teach you. And I'm not here to basically change your way of thinking, because I have my way of thinking. You have your way of thinking. But just stop for a second, look at the evidence presented, and then maybe just be like, it's possible. I'm not saying, you know, skeptics have to believe in anything, because they don't. But if they just stop for a second, look at the evidence. And once again, the evidence is so small. Like, I understand footprints are nothing. I understand these things. Trust me, I get it. There's so many footprints, but what does that mean? Why is there only one footprint? That's always the big one to get. Well, why is there only one footprint and not a bunch of other footprints? Listen, if you're not in the woods and you're not doing the research and you're not understanding how nature works and you're not understanding all the things that basically the forest do, and that's what I mean by read the woods, learn about the woods. Don't worry about technology, read the woods. Then they're not going to understand the whole process. They won't. And, you know, as the believers here, I'll sit here and we're like, you know what? We're so hard. We know what we saw. We know what we believe. We know what we find. Okay. And that's what we're here for. As this team, you know, basically it was created to be here for the believers. You know, and I love skeptics. I'll talk to skeptics all day long, show them stuff. You know, I went out to Buffalo over the summer, did a lecture out in front of, you know, archaeologists, and we're talking like science people. And by the end of my, you know, lecture, after them and everything, they were actually starting to change their mind on the subject, which was amazing. I'm sitting there like, holy shit, like, I just got through to some really smart people that basically they looked at me like I was crazy, but by the end they're like, okay, it's plausible, this makes sense in some ways. So there, as long as you have the information, you know, anything can happen. So, you know, once again, to the believers, keep fighting the good fight, man. You know what I mean? Like, don't let these people that, you know, are telling you what you saw, you didn't see, don't let them, you know, change your mind. Don't make them, you know, stand up for yourself. We have to stand up for ourselves. You know what I mean? Don't let people bring you down. So that's a little bit on the skeptics and believers. I'd love to go a little bit further on it. You know what I mean? And maybe we can on other shows. But, yeah, definitely. And it's touching because I'm sure a lot of you believers out there and people that have had encounters have had these, you know, witness, first-hand witness things. You know what you've felt. You know what you believe. And I'm sure either you haven't said anything to people because you're scared and, you know, of ridicule. And if you have, I'm sure one or two people at one point in time probably said that you're just batshit crazy. And then you don't want to talk about it anymore. You shut down. So, you know what I mean? You're not alone. There's a bunch of us out there that are doing this. So, and we're here for you, you know? So, with that being said, all right, that's good. Now, we're just going to move along a little bit. So, when we're going into the show, I'm still learning to use all this, but we will have people that can call in. So, we have a guest call-in number, so next show we'll put that out. You know, we want to hear from you guys and ladies. You know, it's not about me just jabbing all day because I can talk all day long. So, once again, you know, we'll be talking because we want to hear your stories. You know what I mean? So today, basically, you know what I mean, I put up a story on our Facebook page, New York Big Society on Facebook it's a story that came out of North Carolina, and it basically came out of January, actually. It was weird. It was a young 3-year-old child named Casey Hathaway basically was in his backyard of his grandmother's playing and somehow got lost in the woods. Don't ask me how a 3-year-old gets lost in the woods in the backyard with no one watching him. I mean, this is New York. That shit doesn't fly in New York. But anyway, the kid, you know, got lost in the woods. He was missing for 2 days. Okay. Now, this is, you're going to see what I'm going to do here real quick. The child that was 3 years old said basically when he got rescued, so the kid did come out of the woods 2 days later. He was actually right behind the house somehow. They found him, they scooped him up, kid was safe. But when they interviewed the kid said, "God sent me a bear to be my friend for 2 days." So see what I'm saying? God sent him a bear to be a bear for 2 days. Okay. Well, upon now really thinking about it, you know, and a lot of people are like, well, a bear just hung out with you and took care of you and played with you. And, you know, the child was like, yeah, the bear played with me, you know, took care of me, you know, things like that. You start to really think, well, maybe the bear could have been a Sasquatch. You know, we do have stories and old, you know, claims of children getting lost and actually Bigfoot's finding these children and nurturing them. And they're all young children, very small. There are multiple claims of this, which is, you know, it's just pretty cool and very strange. But once again, it's good for us to know these things as researchers. The child basically said God brought him a bear as a friend to watch over him. So, I mean, we're left here thinking at least the kid, okay, came out, great. How did the kid get lost in the first place? But it's really crazy. They actually had to call off the search because the weather got so bad, it was actually that dangerous to go in the woods. So this child was out in, like, unreal weather, okay, for 2 days, survived with a bear taking care of it. I'm going to basically go that it was a possible Sasquatch. Now, the cool thing about this story is not so much the story itself. As I was reading the comments of the story, and you can go to our page and actually read the comments of what everybody's saying, this is a true story. Once again, people from the town were talking about this story. People are like, oh, this is a fake story. But then people chimed in that the family knew the town. It's a small town. And sure enough, the story came out to be it's a real story. This really happened. So we're kind of left with, you know what I mean? Like, all right, so this bear could possibly have been a Sasquatch because, if you know, from a child's standpoint, they may look at a Sasquatch like being like a bear. It makes sense logically, okay, if we're talking about what a child would think, okay? So, that being said, you know, once again, this is such a cool story. It's really strange. We don't hear about things too much. So when these things come out of the woodwork and you kind of start really thinking about it, and then you think about, well, it could have been a Bigfoot. A Bigfoot's now caring for a child. All right, this is one of those good nurturing stories. So now it's like, huh, one of the areas that we investigate here in New York is actually, which I believe, after doing the research, is a nursery. We find small Bigfoots in this area. We have multiple small prints. We have, you know, they're not the big ones. They're the smaller ones. where these are located, there's really no people. This would be no reason for someone running barefoot through the woods with those kind of feet, once again. And we get screamed at, vocals. It's almost like a bunch of monkeys. I'm not even exaggerating. It's pretty crazy. They're in there in the springtime. If you watch our page, I actually was out there a couple weeks ago. Nothing. I mean, the snowpack in the Adirondacks right now is pretty deep, which is great snowshoeing. If you like snowshoeing, make sure to get out there soon. You know, it's supposed to get warm. But yeah, I mean, there's really nothing going on right now. But they will hopefully be back in there soon, which, once again, when they're in there, we'll be there. So, once again, this show is going to be basically talking about Bigfoot in New York. One of the places that, you know, we investigate is, you know, the southern Adirondack region around Whitehall. Okay, we have a story out of Whitehall. I'm sure, you know, as Bigfoot people, you may know about it. Back in August, you know, like basically last summer, Bigfoot crossed Route 4. All right, a guy was driving at nighttime, all of a sudden saw a bipedal creature walk right across Route 4 and disappear into the woods. Upon a researcher going out and checking the area out, Whitehall, they did cast tracks right where the guy saw the Bigfoot cross the road. As we know, basically Whitehall, New York, is basically Bigfoot capital of the Northeast. I mean, that's they've basically made Bigfoot a protected species there. So, you know, right in our backyard, we have this so much Sasquatch activity. You got the Catskills, the Adirondacks, it's mountain upon mountain. So these are the subjects we're going to be talking about. But, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, getting in touch with the witnesses. We want to hear the witnesses talk for themselves. We're not here to talk about TV shows. We're not here to talk about egos. We're here to talk about Bigfoot and we're just the people that are witnessing Bigfoot. All right. As we start to wrap up this show, things go really quick. We have a couple announcements. On April 12th, okay, at the Middleburg Library in Middleburg, New York, I will be giving a Bigfoot lecture. We do give lectures. We do events throughout the state. As I just told you, we were out in Buffalo before. So if you want to come out, it will be at 7 p.m., which is a Friday, April 12th, in the Middleburg Library. Also, we're doing an ambassador program. Basically, we're looking for spotters throughout the state who want to work with us. Basically, what happens then is you basically give us a report in your area. We will come out when we can, you know, schedule a time. We'll meet up with you, and you can come basically research with us. So, you know, you don't have to do it full time, and you just come out and see what it's about getting in the woods with, you know, basically a bunch of professionals. This kind of stuff. We're not experts. I hate when people say experts. We're just professionals. There's no such thing as an expert Bigfoot researcher. There's just not. So we have that going also. So if you're, you know, interested in that, message us and we can get that set up. This month I'll be sending out all the logistics for that. You know, we're very busy. We're trying to get out more and more in the field. Like I say, we'll try to get out at least twice a month with our life schedule. It's kind of busy at times, but we do get it done. With that. So another thing, you know, once again, we're going to start, you know, having guests on our show. So if you want to be a guest, if you have a sighting report claim, and you want to tell us your story, if you want to get us, you know, get your story out, you know, just, you know, message us, we can set it up. You can stay anonymous and, we don't have to say, where you were located, things like that, if you don't want to, but, you know, feel free to, you know, you're in a spot where people want to hear the stories. We want to hear the stories, you know, get it out. You know what I mean? To explain to people that these creatures do exist, that these, you know, it is a possibility that Bigfoot is here in New York, which, you know, the people listening to the show probably know that already. And, you know, nice for all of our guests to hear the stories, because that's what we're here for. We're here for the stories. So yeah, feel free to message us there. And with that being said, you know, with thousands of Bigfoot sightings throughout the state, you know what I mean? There's definitely something going on with this mystery. We're not here to solve it, but what we're here to do is, you know, basically bring it to the forefront, show the evidence, gain the data, to show everybody, you know, out there, everybody on our page, and we let you then decide yourself what you want to think. So with that being said, our first podcast is done. Thank you for joining with us. It was a good time, you know, a little nervous, but we got through it, and I hope you enjoyed, you know what I mean? And we definitely we'll be back and, you know, basically do this bi-weekly. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, all right? So everybody, as always, keep it squatchy.
Thank you for listening to the NYBS Radio Show. Tune in next time as we continue our search for Bigfoot right here in the great state of New York. Until next time, friends, keep it squatchy, and we'll see you out on the trail.